Thanks for joining us today on the Beach Church Podcast. As a church, we exist to reach, raise up, and release followers of Jesus who change the world. Thank you for partnering with us in that mission.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. How are you guys? Good, good. Good morning. How are you guys? Good. Glad to hear. Welcome, everybody. Whether you're here on Jack's campus or watching in our online campus, we are so glad that you guys are here. I'm Emmanuel Escobar, the discipleship pastor. If we haven't met, nice to meet you. This is Katie Ann. Katie Ann is our discipleship coordinator. We've been working side by side now for what, over about two years,
I think.
She was an intern at first, and I let her tell her story. But obviously, this is a very different setup from what a lot of you are used to when we're preaching. Today, we're continuing our series on the deeply rooted life. But before we jump into that, I just wanted to take a time to acknowledge and thank you guys for your generosity. Our Faithful to the Mission campaign is over 80% right now. Thank you guys. We could not be doing this without you. That's right. Handcuffs are definitely a part of this. Your generosity means everything to us. Nikki's story is what we mean by faithful to the mission. Nikki's story is what we mean by reaching, raising up, and releasing followers of Jesus who change the world. Nikki has changed the story of her son by pursuing a relationship with the only one that could redeem her past, heal her, and provide the tools needed for the future. And that's what we mean by being faithful to the mission. We have a deadline in December to be able to raise all the money that we need, and we're so close. Thank you to all of you guys for being a part of it. We could not do this without you guys. Now, today, again, as we were talking about, we're continuing our series, Deeply Rooted Life, and we're talking about a subject that can be quite complex and heavy. Thus, we figured that maybe us two having a conversation up here could be a great way for us to tackle this subject, and hopefully you guys can hear from the Holy Spirit and be healed. We are big believers in raising up the next generation. I'm so excited about the future of church. If you guys haven't talked to a young adult that's following Jesus recently, you need to. If you want to be just excited about the future of church, I'm so excited for this new generation of believers that is rising up, that is the church right here, right now. They love the Lord. They're excited for the future, and I can't wait to see what God does. Part of it, those of us that are not young, our part is to help raise them up, and this is part of that. This is a woman that loves the Lord, is passionate not about a platform or about achieving something, but is passionate about people being healthy and growing closer to the heart of God. And I think that doing this is a great step for her to be able to lean into that. So, Katie Ann, let's pray first, and then you can share a little bit about who you are and what we're doing today. Sounds good? Holy Spirit, we love you and we worship you and we give you access to us today. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you make this church fertile ground, that you make this church a place where we can, you can have your roots deep reach into our hearts, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray that as we preach today, that it is not about our conversations or eloquent words, that it's not about our plans. Holy Spirit, I pray that you intervene right now, and it is you that moves the hearts of people to yourself. In the name of Jesus, have your way in our life. Amen.
Amen. Well, as Manuel said, I'm Katie Ann, and I've been a part of this church family for about 2 years now. I started as an intern, and then they decided to keep me around for some reason, and so now I'm one of the discipleship coordinators, and it is one of the greatest joys of my life. I have been able to grow in my gifts and be empowered in ways that I never have before, and so thank you guys for all being a part of that in some way, shape, or form. Your encouragement, and just being around and being a comfort and being a part of this body has been encouraging to me. So thank you. And as Emmanuel said, we're going to be talking about a heavy topic today. We are continuing in our Deeply Rooted Life series. And if you have been here with us, you know that we have definitely tackled some difficult things. So thank you for still coming to church, even though you know you're going to feel some
things. Even though we're not pitching, easy balls.
Yeah, exactly. But I really believe that God has something good for us today. And if you haven't gathered from Nikki's story, we're going to be talking about the past. We're going to be talking about breaking the power of the past. Mm. What that means for us, how can we do that, and why do we need to do that, and what that's going to look like. And so you're probably also wondering, why is this young girl up there talking about breaking the power of the past? She hasn't even lived enough life to know what to be breaking. But genuinely, I have had some experiences, and the Lord has brought something to me that I just can't even describe, and I hope that I can put it into words today, and I hope that you get to encounter this yourself. But I have had healing in areas of my life where I thought it was going to define me forever, and I'm so thankful for this opportunity to just get to share that. So I will share a little bit about my story today, but we want to acknowledge too that we will talk about family. We will talk about things that may be decisions that you yourself have made, or just things that other people have chosen to do that have affected you. But maybe for you, your family situation was healthy and you're like, yeah, I would love to be like my mom or my dad. They're a great role model for me. Or, you know, you want to continue the traditions and patterns of your family before you. But maybe you're on the other side of that and you're like, oh my goodness, like my family is chaotic and there's cycles of fear and pain and hurt and brokenness that have been passed down to me that have affected me. We're all in a different place when approaching this topic of breaking the power of the past. And let's feel the freedom to let this message, the truth that's going to be shared through God's word and those things, affect you and your personal story, because we all can relate to one thing, and that's that we have experienced pain in the past. That's true for all of us.
Absolutely. So that's what we're hoping that you guys see today. There's two very different people with very different backgrounds, yet here we are talking about breaking the power of the past. Why? Because none of us are exempt from this. Yeah. None of us. Why? We're human beings. So that means that we have either lived through the consequences of somebody choosing sin, or we have been the ones that have chosen sin and put others and ourselves through the consequences of it. So no matter who you are, you have this degree of an experience of having to deal with past decisions, past experiences that kind of highlight, oh man, I think I do need to yield something to God. And I hope that today you realize that this is an essential part of not just your healing, but your spiritual maturity. Mm-hmm. I hope today that you realize that a key aspect of you developing in a relationship with God, knowing how much He loves you, knowing the potential that you have and what He wants for you, that comes in many ways. A very critical aspect is dealing with the baggage, the wounds, the scars from your past. Now, the thing that we do need to acknowledge in this is that it's not easy. It's oftentimes not fun. But nonetheless, the Lord wants to have access to that part of your life so that He can yield His influence. So even if you're like, I'm not really sure how this applies to me, I kind of had a great life, I'm good. Trust me, as we continue to speak, I pray that the Lord reveals something new to you that you haven't given Him access to, and that you're willing to say, yes, God, I want you to have access to that as well. Because here's the thing, the world tells us that we're very much defined by our past. The world tells us that our past will shape our future, but our God tells us that His sacrifice interrupted our story and redefined what our future can look like. The world tells you that you are the product of your past, that if you were raised up in brokenness, you are more than likely to raise others in brokenness. If you dealt with alcoholism and your family dealt with alcoholism in the past, you're probably going to deal with it too. The world tells you that you are chained to your past. I was for many years in the world of tech and talent acquisition, and something that we would talk about that a lot, we would look at human behavior. One of the things that we would say is that the best predictor of future human behavior is past human behavior. So if you stumped your toe and yelled out a curse word once, you're likely to do that again the second time. And there's a lot of math and a lot of science to prove that that is true. And the world will echo that. However, I need you to know that that is not the case in the kingdom of God. Yeah. I need you to know that although your sin would try to define you, God's salvation is what redeems you. And that's what we want to talk about today, because the world may tell us that the past shapes our future, but we believe God wants to redefine what our future can look like through his sacrifice on the cross. Yeah. So, Kidian, what are some past examples of your experience that you feel can influence us today and maybe have influenced you today?
Yeah. Yeah, so these examples are, you know, some relate to me, some may relate to you, but I haven't necessarily experienced them. But maybe for you, it felt like growing up, everything you did was critiqued or not enough, and so you constantly felt like you couldn't measure up to this bar that was put in front of you. And so now you keep everyone at an arm's length in hopes that if you do so, you won't feel the rejection that you felt as a child. And you keep everyone in arm's length because you feel like they're against you. Or maybe for you, your parents never really resolved conflict. It was more like they got angry at each other, and then it was a big blow up, and then it was swept under the rug eventually. And then things just kept building. And so for you, now that's your pattern. So you get angry, and then maybe you just can't control your emotions, and so you blow up, and you don't know why, and it just happens. And then you're not really sure how to resolve conflict with someone, how to say, hey, that hurt me. Hey, I really didn't appreciate this. It's more just like it comes out however it comes out. Or maybe for you, you're on the other side of that, and you never saw your parents fight, so you felt like, or you never saw them have conflict, so you felt like whenever you have conflict with other people, that must be a bad thing. And so you avoid it altogether. And even when it's necessary, honestly, for the growth of relationships, you can oftentimes avoid it. Or maybe for you, you grew up in a household of non-Christians, and now you are a Christian. But the things that you learned as a child or growing up or up until the point of becoming a Christian were more secular. It was more like, you gotta fight for your piece of the pie, make as much money as you can, get revenge, those who hurt you, cut them off, those kinds of things. And so reflecting the heart of Christ and walking in his truth can seem really, really difficult for you because you didn't grow up that way. So it's easier to fall back into the patterns that you've experienced rather than walking forward. And I would say that's something we all struggle with. Or maybe for you, as a child, anytime you tried to show emotion, you were shut down and disregarded or invalidated. And so now you definitely don't share how you feel, and you just can't seem to face conflict or solve issues because you feel like your emotions don't matter and you don't matter. Those are just a couple.
Yeah. No, these things are, the list goes on and on, yeah. Right? These are real things that a lot of us have experienced. And we tend to have two reactions to this. And I know I've experienced this myself. I've shared this with you guys before from stage lightly, but for a long time, I was not interested in having any kids. I was actually terrified of having kids. My dad, nice guy, he wasn't abusive verbally or anything like that, but he was just never around. He would disappear for years of my life and then return randomly, and the classic get your hopes up, man, this is different, and then he would be gone again and again and again, and that same pattern has continued into my adulthood. I've been married now we're going on 13 years, and it's been such a wonderful experience. And I remember talking with my wife about it, the frustrations that I had. I'm like, I'm a pastor now. I'm a grown man. And I'm still have these feelings about my dad coming in and out of the picture and disappearing on me, and the feelings of feeling unworthy and feeling that maybe if I had tried a little bit harder, he would still be around. And the things that come with what we colloquially now refer to as trauma, right? And for a long time, because of those feelings, I did not want to have any kids. I'm not interested. Like, one bummed out little Mexican kid is enough. Like, I don't need to multiply this issue. I don't need a new generation of broken kids running around going, I don't know, I never see my dad. Or if I do, he kind of disappears on me, right? Like, so for a long time, I didn't know how to deal with that. And I feel like we do that. We either swim in our trauma. We are super sensitive. We're well aware of it. Everything offends us. Everything, quote unquote, triggers us. We're always like, up in our feelings about it. Or the opposite, which is what I would do. We shove it into a box. We hammer it shut and we shove it in a shelf. And that's, most Latin guys will do that. And that very much took that route. I'm like, lock it up. And I'm going to shove it in a closet somewhere. Never think about this again. Here's the problem about those boxes is that they're not sealed very tight, are they? Mm-hmm. Those boxes leak. Those feelings that you thought that you could just move on, press on forward, they seem to spill out. And that's what I want you guys to hear about what we're talking about today, that this isn't a conversation about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. This isn't a conversation about, move forward because the Lord wants you to. This is a conversation of vulnerability. This is a conversation that says we need to give access to God to things that we maybe didn't think we needed to, or maybe we knew we should and we just don't want to. See, I was able to heal from that feeling that I had about not wanting to have kids only once Jesus came into my life. And he redeemed the thought of parenthood for me and the thought of being a dad for me when he showed me that he was faithful and present for me no matter what. And if he was present and faithful, maybe I could have a shot at reflecting him to whatever kid he happens to trust me with. And now being able to experience parenthood and being a dad, I've had a son that's 8 years old, has been such an extremely healing experience for me, not just for Emmanuel's inner child, right? But even for my son. I am now influences my son's future. He has a very different image of dad and parenthood than I had. And I'm sure I am giving him his own healthy dose of trauma in some ways that I probably don't even know. But I pray that like me, he would choose to give access to God to things so that God can deal with them and address them. Yeah. So Katie Ann, what does the Word of God say about this topic?
Yeah, I love what you shared, and I think that can give hope to all of us, but absolutely the Word of God can. So we're going to turn to Luke chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 18 and 19. And as you're flipping there or finding it on your phone, I want to give you some context. So earlier in this chapter of Luke, Jesus was in the wilderness and tempted by the enemy, and he stood firm, and then he goes back into the town of Nazareth, which is in Galilee, and that is his hometown, and it is the Sabbath day, and he is chosen to stand in the synagogue and read from the scroll Isaiah 61. And back in the day, they were very strict about these religious practices, so it was amazing at the fact that Jesus was even standing up and about to do what he did. It was very controversial. So let's read Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. I am reading from the CSB, if you guys wanted to know that. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So these two verses are the direct quotes from the messianic prophecy found in Isaiah 61. And you may be like, what is a messianic prophecy? Basically, that means that back in the Old Testament, God made a promise that he would send a savior, and he spoke it through Isaiah. And this is Jesus quoting this, and by doing so, he's fulfilling this prophecy. That means, well, first, I want to tell you that in verse 21, he affirms that he's fulfilling this prophecy by saying, as today, as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled. So that means for us, that means for this scripture, that it is another confirmation that Jesus came to save humanity. He's speaking of himself, sharing that God has sent him to do these things, meaning to set the captive free, to bring sight to the blind, to preach good news to the poor. He sent Jesus to accomplish those things. This also means that we are the poor, the captive, the oppressed, the blind, and the ones that he came to save. You are, I am, Emmanuel is, the person that really gets on your nerves in your life. They are all of us. This pertains to everyone. Jesus came to save all of us. And as we see in this scripture, that when we encounter Jesus, we can experience this freedom. So we can discover a new perspective because he came to give us sight. We can be set free from our past because he came to break us free from it.
Yep.
And so if today it's your first time hearing of Jesus, one thing that I want you to know is that he is the real deal. Amen. He is the fulfillment of what God promised to send us. And if you haven't heard in Emmanuel's story and Nikki's story, he really is who he says he is.
Yeah.
He cares and he loves and he paid the ultimate price so that you could have relationship with God. And not just so that you could go about life until you get to heaven, but so that you could experience abundant life here on earth. And also, if this is your first time hearing about Jesus today, I want you to know that we'll have two people at our Connect stations at the end, and they would love to talk to you more about what it looks like to walk with Jesus. And if you are going to make that decision today, we would love to, we have a gift we would love to give you and just in having a conversation with you. But if you haven't chosen to follow Jesus, or if you have and you feel like you've been looking to the world to fulfill your heart, like you're looking to your accomplishments, you're looking to your finances, you're looking to your relationships, you're looking to your good efforts to make you feel better about yourself, to make you feel like you have a good life. None of it has the power that Jesus does. So whatever you're holding out for to fill this hole in your heart, it doesn't have the power that Jesus does.
Yeah.
You know, when he created us, he created our hearts with this hole that is the size of only him. It's like a puzzle piece. And so when we invite him in, then we can encounter what it feels like to experience wholeness here on earth. And so what I want you to know is that Christ came not only to set you free from captivity, but to redeem your past and change the trajectory of your future. Because we're not just like, oh, well, God forgave my past, but he also wants to set you on a new one, so that you can experience a life that is full and is good and is healthy, and not just for you, so that other people around you could experience this goodness as well.
Absolutely. So what does it look like to not only encounter the Spirit of God, but let it change us? Kitty Ann just told us we've been set free. Jesus fulfilled that promise. The blind can see, the enslaved are free. Awesome, great to know that. How do I actually live this out? How do I experience what Nikki talked about in her video of asking God to step into my past and hearing the healing that he had for me? How do we actually get to that point where we've allowed the Holy Spirit to come in and do his work? Go with me to Romans chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 14. For all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received a spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Did you notice that? That all those led by God's Spirit, we belong to that family. We are part of what he was talking about in that freedom. And he exchanges a spirit in us. away from slavery, away from chains that say that your past defines you, that say that the abusive relationships you experience defines you, that say that your mistakes define you, that say that your education defines you, that say that whatever you've done before define you. He breaks that spirit of slavery and gives us one instead of adoption. We belong to him. And not only that, this spirit of adoption is used to cry out, Abba, Father, which literally means good Father. The Spirit himself testifies in verse 16, together with our spirit that we are God's children, and if children, also heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Need you to understand that his spirit breaks us free from the past and we're no longer held back by it. His spirit breaks us free from our past and we're no longer held back by it. Now, this does not mean that your life is easy. We just read that at the end of the verse that even through our sufferings, we can be glorified with him, right? We glorify his name with him. The spirit that we receive is not one of fear that ties us to our past. If the spirit of fear was what guided my decisions, I would still not be a dad. Because I can't trust myself to be a good, kind father. I must learn to trust him. I must learn to trust the new spirit that he's given me and letting that be what lives out my life, giving him access to the parts of me that are filled with fear and having those things be replaced by a spirit of adoption that says, I belong to the Abba Father. This reality of encountering Jesus doesn't take away hardships we face, but it can change the way that we experience them. It won't change the hard things you've lived through. It won't change the hard decisions that you've made that have had bad consequences. It won't change that, but it will change the perspective that you have about them to be able to face them. So, Kitty-Ann, can you share a little bit about your story of how God did that with you and through you?
Amen. Yeah, for sure. So for me, I grew up witnessing many broken relationships around me. My parents got divorced when I was very young, and then following a couple years later, my grandparents got divorced after over 40 years of marriage. And so for me, that was kind of set the precedent, I felt like, for the trajectory of my relationships. And even other things that I experienced throughout the years, though I knew Jesus, made me very insecure about the thought of a relationship in the future and being able to have a healthy marriage. Even though I knew that was something that was honoring to God, I didn't think that that was something that was possible for me because of the insecurities, because of the past family history that I had. As Emmanuel talked about, it can feel like you're only, you know, able to do what other people have done before you, and like that has to define you if they haven't. And so all of the pain that I had experienced led me to trusting the world, even though I knew Jesus. And so there was a point in my life where I knew who Jesus was, I had encountered him, but I was looking to the world and the worldly things and the worldly accomplishments to tell me who I was and to tell me what my life was gonna look like. And so once that all came crumbling down, as it does, I no longer had the security of all of having all the earthly things. And the only thing that stood standing was my relationship with God. And I was finally decided, I guess, I was aimlessly walking towards him and decided to surrender my past to him. And genuinely not because, oh, I was doing the right thing. I don't want it to sound like that. It's very hard and messy when you feel like you're in a pit and you're in a deep, dark season of your life. You don't really know what to do. And so that's kind of what I did. I just prayed and asked God, help me. And it was nights of crying and not knowing what to do and feeling hopeless and feeling like, again, I had no future of hope. I was just as good as I could perform. And through surrendering my hurt to God, I have throughout the years experienced a lot of healing. And no, I didn't have circumstances change and get better. That's not what made my life better. It was God changing my heart and changing my perspective on the things that I was experiencing. So I want you to know that what I'm sharing is a practice. It's not a formula. It's not a 1-2-3 step. It's not a, if you finally do all these things right, then you will achieve this. It's messy. It's hard. It's difficult. But one thing I know is that Jesus came to give us this hope so that we could experience abundant life here on earth. And it's worth it to walk this messy road. One, so that you could experience healing, but even more so, so that your family, your future family, and the people around you could also see the hope of Jesus in your story. I know I pray that for me. When I get tired of trying and tired of going to counseling and tired of working at things that I feel like I've been working at forever, or tired of, you know, saying, oh God, forgive me for my pride on this area. I thought we had already worked this out. When I get tired and weary of doing that, I think about my family and my future family and the people that are impacted by these decisions that I'm making. And also, it's obedient to God for me to give him my best and to pursue him with endurance and perseverance. And what I also want you to know is that there's two things, there's one thing that also helped me lead into a life of health, and that was going to counseling and having trusted people around me to speak into my life. And so I've been going to counseling for a couple years on and off, but it has truly made such a difference in my life to have someone that can say, even when it's hard for me to hear, hey, Katie Ann, these are areas and things that we need to work on. And then also having a life group of people that push me closer to God and help me to feel loved and comforted in times where I'm struggling. That is so important. And so for you, if counseling is a step that you've been wanting to take, here's your affirmation. Absolutely do it. And again, I don't want you to hear that it's going to be easy once you start, because it's really not easy to hear something about yourself that you really don't want to hear. But it's so worth it. It's worth it for you. It's worth it for others. It's worth it in your relationship with God. And so for me, living this out today, as I mentioned, having a healthy, growing, and loving relationship seemed impossible for me at one point. And right now, I am in a loving, healthy, and growing relationship. And we are not married, but this is just a beautiful thing that God has given me, and a gift that God has given me, because I, again, genuinely never thought, because of the things that I had experienced, this would be possible. And I get to go to my boyfriend and say, hey, even though I know it's not you, it's probably just my past insecurities talking, can I tell you that what you said brought up something in me? Can I talk to you about that? Can you help me through that? And I can do the same for him. And it is a beautiful thing to not feel like we're against each other, but to know that we're for each other. And at one point, I didn't think anyone was for me. I thought it was only about my performance. And this is because the healing that God has brought. And he wants to give that to you too. So how can you heal from your past? I know this is just my story that I just shared with you, and everyone's looks different. So how can you heal from your past? First, we have to acknowledge what happened. And I know everyone's throat probably just got really full. Maybe you feel like, no, I can't do that because that means I have to acknowledge that I hurt someone, or that means I have to acknowledge that I was hurt by someone. I want to give you the freedom right now to do that if you never have felt like you could, because of the things that have happened, because maybe your family stuffs things down. Have the freedom right now to say, I was hurt in the past. Ask yourself, is there any part of my past that is holding me back from my future? And what we can acknowledge with that, secondly, is we need to understand who Christ is in the midst of our pain. We saw this in Luke chapter 4. We saw it in Romans chapter 8. Jesus loves you. He knows you're broken, and he still came to save you. He wants to walk alongside you in your healing and your pain and your hurting in the mess of things. Even if you don't surrender it to him, God, I surrender this thing. Maybe it's a whole lot of things, a whole pile of things that have been piling up for years and years and years. It's never too late. And he always, always, always is going to be there by your side, as he promised. What aspects of your pain, trauma, choices, and experiences can you surrender to God today that you haven't already? Third, we need to give God access. We need to give him access to the areas of our lives, the areas in our heart where they feel so broken, we don't know what to do with them. Where they feel hardened by the things that we've experienced, we just can't even really have emotion or compassion because we just feel so hardened by the deep hurt that we've experienced. Give him access to work within those things. I promise you, he will. And it will be better than anything you could have ever imagined. And lastly, be committed to learning and growing. Because like I said, it's not a 1, 2, 3. And I know even though I said first, second, third, but this truly is how we walk it out. Because as I said, sometimes I get tired of making the effort of forgiving people I don't want to, of going to counseling, of listening to things that I don't want to hear. But I know, because one, God has called me to, but also I know it's important that other people see me walk out this journey so that my kids live a different life than I did, and their kids. And maybe somehow my family can be changed by it. And so if today you are tired, be committed to learning and growing, because God has called you to, and he wants to use you to change the trajectory of your future and other people's too. So whatever your next step might be, again, we're all in a different place and we all have a different story. We've all had different experiences. And so maybe you're at step one. Hey, today was my first time acknowledging that I was hurt in the past. That's okay. If today you just need some courage to keep on going, that's okay. God is with you. And I pray today that you will have the courage to take your next step. And for all of us, a practical next step that we can take, we have a webinar coming up on Thursday, and we're gonna sit and have a conversation just about this same topic with a licensed mental health counselor. And so if you feel like that would be helpful for you, it's a great tool. You can submit questions about things maybe you personally have experienced. And so please join us. There's gonna be a QR code at the end that you guys can scan, but we would love for you to join us in that. But whatever your next step is, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. Would you guys stand with me and let's pray? God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness, even in times that are dark and difficult and painful. Thank you that you loved us enough to send your son so that we may be set free from our difficult past and our shame and our guilt that surrounds us, God. I pray today that you would fall afresh on every heart that is hearing my voice right now. I pray that they would know that you love them, God. I pray that they would know that you have a hope and a future for them, God. And I pray that they would look to you and surrender their lives to you and give you access to those painful parts so that you could heal them. Jesus, I pray that you would give the people in the room courage to take their first step in acknowledging their pain. I pray that you would give the people who need to understand who Jesus is in the midst of their pain, I pray that you would give them the courage to believe that who he says he is true. I pray that you would give people in this room and online today, God, I pray that you would give them the freedom and the ability and the openness to give you access to the difficult parts of their heart, God. And I pray that you would give the people that are tired and weary, I pray that you would give them the courage to keep growing, to keep learning, and to keep pursuing after you. I thank you, God, in advance for what you're gonna do. And I pray today that you would break off chains and that you would change generations. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's podcast. We'd love to connect with you and hear from you on how this week's podcast impacted you. You can always connect with us through our app, Beach Church Jax, which is found on the iTunes Store or the Google Play Store. And you can always go to our website, beachchurchjax.com. Have a great day.